Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into How to Have God's Life Living in You, Part 24 today. And this tape or CD is program number 126. So if you'd like to order it, we're going to give you four different ways right now how to order this program, program 126. And remember always that it's free of charge. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one free of charge. If you need more literature or the Messiah book, we'll send that to you. Now, will you please tell them the four different ways that they can order this tape or whatever?
You can email by going to alamoministries.com. You can write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, remember, that's tape or CD number or program number 126 that we're doing today, and it's actually the 24th part of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And I could do 24 million messages on how to have God's life living in you. And, you know, if none of them have gotten to you yet, just stay tuned in, because I'm going to come at you from so many different directions that you're going to be able to receive at least one of them. Amen? Mm-hmm. The main thing is to have God's life living in you. And to have God's life living in you is the same as having Christ's life living in you, because the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is God come in the flesh. The Spirit of God came into a human being, and his name was Jesus. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's God, and he states that he is God. And the Bible says that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and his Spirit is still in those of us that have been washed in the blood. We have God or Christ's life living in us. That means Christ with his Father by the Spirit. These three are one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But right now we have some letters, one from South America and a couple of them from different parts of Africa. Let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this message. Now, I say outwardly because we need the outward anointing to be able to minister, to allow God to live out his life, to flow from the throne of God. The river of life comes directly from the throne of God, and it flows into the people that pray or that are walking in him. He said he is our life, and so we know that the very content of God is life. And so life, God is life, and Christ said that he is the life and that he is the Almighty God. And so, Lord, I ask that you pour out this life-giving message, the Spirit, your word, our Spirit is Spirit and it's life, through me, and let this be God only, you Father God, minister to the people in the world through me, Lord, that they would be saved, strengthened, and encouraged, because every kind of discouragement in the world is coming to the people in the world. They're totally discouraged, but we should be encouraged in you, because those of us who accept you and continue accepting your Spirit on a daily basis, you, the very content of you in us, those of us that receive you are made kings and priests, and that we have a place in the kingdom of God, and we have clearly escaped the pit of hell in the lake of fire. Lord, strengthen the church, save souls, in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Sao Paulo, Brazil. I live in Brazil, and walking the streets of Hollywood, Los Angeles, I saw on the ground a piece of literature that attracted me like a magnet. I went back, and it was one of your newsletters.
That was the Spirit of the Lord moving on you to pick it up. Some people foolishly drop that literature. They don't pay any attention to it. They're more attention to superficial things, things that are going to burn up real soon, things that don't really give them life, God's life, but these pieces of literature that the Lord has given me have life in them, God's life. Okay, then what?
I was overcome with God's enormous power in your newsletter that someone had left on the ground. I am following your work via internet. I am a missionary pastor. I am here to open a recovery center. I would like to keep in touch with you. With nothing else to say, I'll leave you in God's peace in hopes that this letter will be answered. Signed, Rivaldo from Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Well, say, listen, definitely let's keep in contact with each other. And we're going on television, and even on these radio broadcasts, I'm looking for people such as yourself to give a testimony on the air with me. And when we have our television program, it'll be the same thing. So, and if there's any way, if you're receiving everything that the Lord has given me, and I'm sure the Lord is telling you things too, and I'd love to hear them, and we'll help one another. Amen? That's what the body of Christ is about, is we encourage one another. We never discourage each other. All right? We encourage each other to serve the Lord, or to let the Lord live out his life in and through us. And even if it takes a reproof or a rebuke from one of God's servants, if it's what we need and it gives us life by listening to it and doing what it says, well then it is a kindness unto, it should be a kindness unto you. Amen?
Amen.
So if I reprove you or rebuke you, it isn't me. Because even though the virtues of the Lord are peace and joy and comfort and patience and kindness and gentleness and things like that, sometimes if we do that ourselves, that isn't the Lord. But the Lord himself, when he's living totally, he's the content in us is totally the Lord. Well, then it's the Lord doing it. And from time to time, the Lord just doesn't... he'll like reprove and rebuke people, so you just have to let him operate in you, and you have to really know it's the Lord. Otherwise, you could very well throw people's souls. And a lot of people say they get offended at the things because of the truth that is preached, or sometimes they'll be offended because they are reproved and rebuked. But and they think that the scriptures are talking about offending one of the least of mine. That isn't what it's talking about. The Bible, when it says offend, you just don't want to offend God. Blessed is he who is not offended in me, in my words. Okay? And too many people are offended with God's words. It's all right to offend you. Because if the word of God offends you, well then, you need to be offended. You should not be offended, because if you're offended at God's words, well then he's very offended with you. Receive his words. His word is life, and live. It's spirit, it's life, it's the resurrection. And without his word, you're not resurrected. So don't ever be offended with God's word. All right, and then what?
The next letter?
Mm-hmm.
It's from Edo State, Nigeria. Sirs, kindly place me on your permanent mailing list. Any numbers of Bibles you could send me would be highly appreciated, as many of our members were from the Catholic background where Bibles were forbidden to be read by the non-initiate of the Catholic clergy. Thank God your powerful messages are bringing them out of that dark assembly. Signed, Pastor Azu from Edo State, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord. That's really good to hear. That encourages me, and it should encourage everybody in our church and everyone out in radio land that's really of the Lord, to hear that people are being saved. Amen?
Amen.
Through the word of God. And there really isn't anything else that is encouraging. Satan tries to discourage us, but because of the fact that we are kings and priests, if you want to believe the word of God, well, then you should be encouraged that you have heaven. David was encouraged because he was told by God that he's going to be the king of Israel, and it happened. It took a lot of years, but it happened. And the Lord told to Sue and myself about the future. It hasn't happened yet, and so therefore I'm not discouraged with anything that anybody does to me or tries to do to me. I know that if anyone tries to do anything to me before the time comes that the Lord promised me would happen, they won't live long, because God will destroy them. It's written in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. So be careful what you say and what you do, because I am a highly chosen vessel of the Lord. I've seen Jesus, and the Bible says that apostles are the ones that have seen Jesus. I was born out of due season, but really I was born in the right season of time, because whatever the Lord had for me to do is to be done in this day and age, and I'm not at all unhappy about that. I'm very much encouraged in the things that the Lord has told me that will soon transpire. All right, then go ahead.
Next letters from Kaikaram, Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear Brother World Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your recent pack, including a t-shirt and sweatshirt. Brother Alamo, till now I have received above 6,000 newsletters. I have distributed them to 11 villages, including my village, altogether 174 kilometers. After they read your newsletter, many people contact me through letters and telephone and ask me some questions to clarify their doubts. Many are seeking the truth. Now they have the question in their heart, who is the real Savior? Who is the real Son of God? And they found the answers to those questions through your messages. Some of them asked me for Telugu Bibles to know better about Christ. So I am very happy, because with your message's help, I am earning souls for the Lord's kingdom. I found there is no pastor like you in this world, because everyone does not want to spend their full money to spread the gospel. But you are different from each and every one. You are spending millions of dollars to print the literature, Bibles, books, tapes, church construction, orphanages, Christian schools, etc. I am praying for you that God bless you in His kingdom with more than you spent to spread His news in this world. Then you got excellent love, peace, and a place in His kingdom and heart. Brother Alamo, I have a desire. After each literature, your messages, many people turn into Christ's family. If they hear your message directly in India, then many people will turn into Christ's family at one time. I heartily invite you to our place. If you are pleased to visit our place, I will arrange gospel meetings. Many will gather here. I am praying to our Heavenly Father to open doors to visit India. Brother Alamo, every day I am reaching 78 kilometers by using a cycle to distribute your wonderful and heart-touching messages. I am facing many problems to reach those places on the cycle because I am suffering from diabetes. Doctors suggest me to take care of my health and to take food time to time. But I cannot take the food in time because I am seriously involved in distributing your literature.
Well, you still have to take a little bit of time out, you know, to eat a little bit every couple hours, something like that, to keep your blood sugar down. And make sure you eat the right things. So take a little time out for yourself, because it happens to be a commandment of the Lord, too. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I never fear of death. I feel very, very happy to die for Christ. If I reach the death when I am in the gospel work, my son will take it and spread the gospel until the second coming of Christ.
That's my desire as well. I heard a tape that my son, who's now 14 years old, did a few years ago. His voice hadn't changed at that time, and it was so beautiful the way he read the piece of literature, which is about my testimony of dry bones. He read it, and it was just so beautiful to hear him doing that. And it's one of my most precious thoughts to know that if I go on, that my son will carry on the gospel. And he's just really, he loves the Lord, and he loves to read the Bible and pray. And I love that boy. Okay, as and I love my little daughter as no one else in this entire world. Only the Lord comes above them, and they love the Lord. I love them. I love all the people in the world that love the Lord and are getting the gospel out there. My brothers and my sisters, my sons and my daughters that I've begotten through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm not going to go into heaven empty-handed. I've got lots of souls, you know, to lay down before the... I know that they're there already, and I love it when I hear of them winning more and more souls. Praise the Lord. Some of them will probably do a bigger job than I've done, and that would please me very much. But I'm not ever going to retire, never, because I just want to keep winning more and more souls every day. Okay, what else?
Some young people and my son request to come along with me to distribute your literature, but it's highly impossible to go and carry more literature and 6 or 7 members at one time. So I am planning to buy an old car secondhand to reach the unreached areas along with the young people. Please pray for my ministry, health, and family.
You know, people that really are fed from this ministry, you ought to... we could get a little fund here going for this man's vehicle, because you can see that this man is really on fire for the Lord. He's just... and his son and all these other people that are with him. Let's put together some funds for him. And we're going to, for sure, I mean, I'm going to seek the Lord on it, maybe more than this. We're going to send him $1,000 at least, and I'll pray about it. This is just the first I've heard about this letter in the last few minutes, so. But for sure, we'll send him $1,000 as a down payment or for the car. All right, then, because it's to getting the gospel out. Amen?
Amen.
Winning souls. You know, the Lord said in the last days that... that the people's love would wax cold. Love is keeping God's commandments. Are you keeping the Lord's commandments? Are you really as blessed as much as you'd like to? I mean, come on, pitch in with us and help us win souls. We can't do it alone as much as we want to. We want to win more souls. So it is a part of the Bible for you to give tithes and offers. We don't really ask for it, and anyone that can't afford... we don't charge anybody anything, but, you know, let's tie it into the gospel. When you see somebody like this that needs some help, and we're kicking in with $1,000, so let's see what you kick in with, okay? At least $1. If everybody listening is sending $1, the guy could get himself a bus, amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then what else?
Kindly send me your literature, newsletters, and books every month. I need 30 Telugu Bibles. Please send them soon. I entreat you, please pray for my ministry and other plans relative to literature distribution.
Okay, Don, you know the printer in India, because I sent you there. See if he's got that many Bibles there. And if he doesn't, then tell him, you know, we'll give him some more money to start printing some more. Okay, what else?
I need your prayerful help, so kindly send your kind and loving letter, your brother in Christ, Reverend Jaya, from Western Godavari District, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Make sure to send him that $1,000. Amen.
Yes.
Okay, then what else? Now we have, we're going to begin with part 24 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Okay, go ahead.
When the people of God enjoy Jesus, who is the Lamb and all life.
Okay, now, I've been bringing messages on that the ultimate of everything is Christ, who is the actual everything. Everything that we have or receive in this world is a type, a figure, a symbol, a metaphor of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're drinking water, or eating bread, or we're wearing clothing, these are not they're real, that keep us, to sustain us here in this world, but it's not the ultimate. Food, water, and clothing. We have to be clothed with righteousness, and we must eat the Word of God and drink it, because Christ is our everything. Everything is included in Christ. He's the land here, and that was symbolized in the first chapter of Genesis, where God separated the waters from the land and the land resurrected, so to speak, just as symbolic of Christ resurrecting from the dead. In the New Testament, when Christ, the land, came up, then God created all living things, because everything that has life came from God, but everything that has life, it's only temporal until we unite ourselves, our spirit, with the Lord. And even at that, a lot of people feel that the Passover lamb in the Old Testament is all that there is. But that isn't so. That is just a little baby lamb that they slaughtered and they had to eat while standing. They had to roast it and then eat it quickly and then depart. That was a type of Christ, but a little part of Christ. Then, which symbolizes his blood that was shed for us, and that we have to eat Christ, which is the Word of God. God is the Word, and the Word became flesh, and that was Christ. And then when God took them out of Egypt, they were out in the wilderness, and God brought forth bread every morning except on the Sabbath. And they went out and ate that, and that was representative or symbolic of Christ as well, the bread of life. And so, but that was not the ultimate. And then when Moses would smite a rock, a flint, water would come out of it to water all these people and the cattle that they had with them. And they drank, and it was life-giving water. But it wasn't the real water, but it was symbolic of the water. The real water is the Spirit of God that cascades down from the kingdom of heaven, from the throne of God, and enters into us and flows into us like a river mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. And that everything that the Spirit of God touches has life, because all life came from God. And so the land resurrecting up is the type of Christ, because all life comes from Christ. God is life. Jesus is life. Jesus said that, the Bible says that he that hath Christ has life, because Christ is the life of God, the content of God. And the Word of God is the content of God as well. It's from spirit and life. And so, but the ultimate was not the sacrificial lamb. It wasn't the bread, that the manna that God grew out of the ground. And it wasn't the water that came out of these rocks. The ultimation, the very purpose, was the land, for them to be go to the promised land. Amen? Yeah. All these things sustained them, which were Christ, for the purpose of getting them into the promised land, where everything was provided for them. Houses that they didn't build, wells that they didn't dig, trees with fruit on it that they didn't plant, vegetables and all, everything. So all that was symbolic of Christ, and symbolic of the ultimate goal is to be in Christ from now and on until we reach the kingdom of heaven, which is the very thing, the very place that God was symbolizing when he was sending Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the children of Israel into the promised land. In order to get there, we have to have the sacrificial lamb. We have to be washed in the blood of Jesus. We have to eat Jesus. We have to eat the bread of life. We have to drink the water of life. We have to enjoy the land. We should be enjoying every breath that we take, because these are things that God has provided for us in this world. Food, water, clothing, the acquaintance that we have that is of the Lord. We have the Word of God here with us, the very air we breathe. Everything that we have is in one way or another symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the filth and corruption of Satan in the world, but everything that sustains our life here on earth. And as a matter of fact, the Lord has even provided not only salvation for us, but he's provided healing for us. And you just have to know these things in order for you to be able to accept them. So we must accept the entire Christ, everything that he is. And he is everything. He's also, he's the very land. He's the air. He is the food and clothing and the drink that we have. And he is everything to us. So we need to enjoy that while we're here on this earth, and to thank God for every breath we take and for every morsel of food we eat, and know that when we're breathing, that that isn't the real air. When we're eating, that isn't the real food. When we're drinking, that isn't the real water. When we're wearing clothing, that isn't the real clothing. We have to be clothed upon with Jesus, and we have to have all the eternal things, that these things that we're enjoying here on earth, which is Christ, as symbolic of the eternal Christ, the eternal life. The life we have right now, unless you are united with God, which is Christ, is a temporal life. But if when the Spirit of God enters and you continue to walk in the Spirit and become rooted in the land, in other words, you must be rooted to know that this land is Christ. And just like a plant, unless it's rooted in something, there's no possible way that it can bear fruit. We have an orange grove out here that has grapefruits also, and tangerines, lemons, and limes. If we pull one of those trees up, the roots are bare. It's not rooted any longer, and therefore it cannot bring forth any more oranges, grapefruits, lemons, limes, tangerines, tangelos, or whatever. And that's the way it is. We must know that everything we have is from Christ, and by knowing these things and thanking the Lord for it, that makes us that we have him on our mind all the time. We're putting on the mind of Christ. We know all the things that Christ is, and that we're thankful for them, and that is what roots us into the Lord, is the knowledge that all things are that God has provided for us is Christ. And then that way it keeps our mind on the Lord as well, because if you forget the Lord, he says he'll tear you to pieces. You forget the Lord, and some kind of sickness, disease, infirmity will hit you, and because you're not thankful. And he says, and they were not thankful. Amen?
Amen.
And that's when the curses start coming down. God says that those that forget him, he'll tear you to pieces. Because you've got to know from whence cometh all of your blessings. Amen?
Amen?
So even though some of you are not saved, you're receiving blessings from the Lord every day, and you're not even thankful for it. And you need to receive the Lord as the land, because the journey in this world is that we are part of the real estate that we're living on is Christ. And if we live our life according to the way that the Lord has provided the knowledge in his word of how we are to live our life, then we have a piece of real estate in the kingdom of heaven that never gets old. And we ourselves that are made out of the land, we're made out of the dirt of the ground, we will endure, live forever, throughout eternity. God gives his life. The very content of God is God. And the very content of God flows from his throne, which is his Spirit. And the very content of God is life. There is nothing in him that is dead. Everything of God is eternal life. Every blade of grass has temporal life and every other thing in the world, but God has eternal life. You can't destroy him. He's everlasting. You can't hurt him. He's never going to die. And if that life is in you, then you're indestructible and you're eternal. Amen?
Amen.
And that makes me happy. That makes me know that I need only him. If I have the Lord, I don't need doctrine. I don't need to perform, but I need to die out and let him perform in and through me to do his work, so that it can be called the work of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now that we have a little basis here for what we're reading, now let's go ahead and read some more.
When the people of God enjoy Jesus, who is the land and all life, when they do, the authority of God and the presence of the kingdom of God and the house of God comes into existence.
Right. If you have the Lord in you, and you know that you do, then you have the authority of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're the temple of God. God is in you, and his powerful self that's in you, that's living in and through you, is very confident in knowing that what he's doing and saying is the right thing. We need to have put the cross to our lips. We need to let our lips, our tongues, say the things that the Lord wants to say in and through us. We have to police our tongues. I'll read that line again.
When the people of God enjoy Jesus, who is the land and all life, when they do, the authority of God...
See, the authority of God. We are the authority here on earth. Then what?
And the presence of the kingdom of God...
And the presence of God... if he's everything, even the kingdom of God, and he's in us, then the kingdom of God, the real estate of heaven, is in us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, then what?
And the house of God comes into existence.
Because we are the house of God. We are the temple of God, where he resides. And he wants to live in and through us. Now, if there are many virtues that are mentioned in the Bible, but none of them, we can act patient, you know, we can act loving and kind and all the different virtues that it mentions, but it won't do any good to have all these different virtues if we're just policing ourselves for them. We have to let God loose and let him, it is him that has all these virtues, not us. Okay, so his life, the real life, the only true life, must be in us. God is full of life. His entire interior of his very of himself is life. And so we have to let him pour himself into us like a river of life. And he is the one that has all these virtues. If we try to have him say, talking real polite and all this kind of stuff, a lot of times when we should be rebuking people, we just be, oh, you know, praise the Lord and all this sort of thing. It's not God. God has to live. You have to let God live in. You have to totally surrender your life unto God so that he, with all of his virtues, can operate at the given time that he wants. And one of the virtues of the Lord is to reprove and rebuke. And he has love and kindness and patience and gentleness and many other things that are of God. But don't you try to do it. Let God live richly and fully in you so that you are a walking vessel of God, rooted and thankful for everything that the Lord has provided for you in this world, from salvation and healing and the food you eat and the water you drink and the clothes you wear and the land you live on and all the other things that the Lord gives you, the very air you breathe, okay? Because breath and air and the spirit are all the same words in the Hebrew and in the Hellenic Greek. Okay? Then go ahead.
When we possess Christ as the everything, the land and everything on it, here and in eternity, then we, of course, enjoy all the things that Christ has given us.
Yes, we're thankful for it, in other words. And we use it. I use the air. Take a big breath and thank you, Jesus, for this air. Amen?
Amen.
I like to eat good things, you know, that the Lord has directed me to eat. And I enjoy it, you know. And I thank the Lord for every morsel. Amen? And the things I drink, pure, clean water. If you don't have it, like the people in Africa, we've sent, paid for many wells over there so that these kids and the adults over there can have good drinking water. Amen?
Amen.
And whatever. So I enjoy the Lord, you know. Why not enjoy it? Because this is the only, we're just coming through this world once, and we might as well enjoy it, amen?
Amen.
And even if the enemy, which is Satan, and the enemy is this church front in Rome that runs the World Council of Church Fronts, and also the government, world government, and the media, even though they try to discourage us, I want to discourage them. Unless they repent, they're going to hell in the lake of fire. But no matter what they do to me, I know that God has promised me certain events that are going to happen in my life, and that He made me a priest and a king and a ruler here on this earth, and that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Now, I don't understand anybody that far in darkness, you know, that would prefer to go to hell in the lake of fire. But that's what you all want, folks, and that's what you're all going to get. All right? And, you know, the Lord's about ready to pour out all of His plagues on this earth. You've seen just a small foretaste of it with the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the different tidal waves, the diseases, infirmities, the sickness, hundreds of them that they have no cure for. The hurricanes, the tornadoes, and the typhoons, and mudslides, and many other things so numerous that I would spend all day mentioning them all. I don't, even the doctors can't keep up, and the pharmaceutical people with all the new diseases that are incurable that are happening. So you've just seen a small part. What you've seen so far is just like a walk in the park in comparison to what's coming. So be thankful to the Lord and live, let God live His life out in you, and forget about this how to enjoy everyday life. Because the life that you're living, unless it's the Lord living it in and through you, is not life at all. The real life is God. Everything that He is life. His entire being, everything in Him, is into the, everything that He contains is life. And it's being poured out, streams of life throughout the entire world in His servants. And you could be one of His servants today by receiving that river of life from the throne of God in heaven. God is Christ. Christ is God. Amen?
Amen.
God is life. Christ is life. All right, then go ahead.
Then we, of course, enjoy all the things that Christ has given us, all the riches. When we're doing this, something is going to be dispensed from us, and that is the church with God's kingdom.
Right. When God's life is in us, then He flows out of us, which is His dispensation of time that He's given us to dispense Himself like a dispenser, flowing in us and through us into others, so that the others that receive His life, or Him, because Him is life, amen,
amen,
and nothing but life, to those that love Him, but He's judgment also to everyone that doesn't, and everyone that doesn't want to have life, He allows them to have what they want, and that's death and the eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
If we have God's kingdom, we can dispense God's kingdom.
Right, it's just, if we have Him in us, then all that is in us is God. All that is in us is life. And so all that comes out of us is life. I was talking to Buster on the phone a little bit ago, and he said that some of the people in the church were holding a service, and one of them was stuttering and stammering on the platform there. He said, well, he forgot his glasses. Well, I told him, you know, I'm legally blind. I can see to get around and all that. But it didn't make any difference if I wear my glasses or not. I have God in me, and I just let Him, let the good times roll, you know, right through me. I just let Him bring forth out of me or to dispense in me and through me whatever it is that he wants to say. I never know what I'm going to say until I get it, but I pray to the Lord, let everything that I say be you saying it. Use my lips, use my tongue to say whatever you will, Lord, that souls will be saved and the church will be strengthened. Amen?
Amen.
The saved souls will become part of the church. All right, then what?
If we're the temple, we can, with God in us, be the temple in the city.
Right, if this man, whether he has his glasses or not, if God is in him, there shouldn't be any stuttering and stammering, because God doesn't stutter and he doesn't stammer. Amen?
Amen.
He hasn't got any hang-ups. Okay? God is life and power. And he doesn't operate like a will-o'-the-wisp or something. When he says something, it's with great, grand power. You say, well, that little small voice, that still small voice. Yes, he operates that way to some people, with me as well. He'll whisper something to me, but he also deals through me the way that he's dealing now, all right? And it's positive, no negative. The only negative thing that he's saying is to the people that refuse to repent. Then what?
Other people will join in by Christ living and working in and through us.
Right. As he's dispensing his flowing spirit from the throne of God through us unto others, like I'm doing right now, then you'll be saved. You can hear these people that are receiving the Lord from the literature that I've distributed throughout the world to them. And they say that they're out letting this same word be dispensed to themselves and unto others, and that you can see that they say there's others getting saved. Amen. They are getting the Spirit of God in them, the life of God. It just works like a chain reaction. It's happening very rapidly now, because the Lord is on the move to win as many souls as he can, because there's a certain time in destiny, and it's very soon, that he's going to burn this world up. And all those that are not, that don't have God's life in them, will not be able to endure the flame. God will take us up, those of us that are have him in us. He's not going to let himself be burnt. Amen.
Amen.
If he's in us and we're him, we're the actual, we have the essence of God, which is life in us. The very essence of God is life. Amen.
Amen.
It won't rust. Amen.
Amen.
Gold doesn't rust. Amen.
Amen.
The very essence of gold is that it doesn't, it's gold. Amen.
Amen.
The very essence of, and it doesn't rust. The essence of God is life, and life eternal, and life eternal never dies. So be filled with the Spirit of life, be filled with God, and let God pass through you and bring others into life. Amen?
Amen.
These are the top people in the world that are life, or that God dispense through and pours himself into them and also through them to others, that they may be saved. Because God is merciful. He's gentle, patient, but there's a time when the sin that's going on in this world is filling up the wrath, the cup of the wrath of the living God. He's about ready to pour out dreadful, horrible plagues on this earth. And it's going to destroy one-fourth of the people on this earth with diseases gotten from animals alone. And I'm talking about animals being birds, fowl, pork, beef, lamb, whatever. And then one-third of the earth population on top of that is going to be destroyed by meteorites and hail and many other plagues that you can read in the book of Revelation. Now continue on, please.
Everything in the Old Testament is exactly the same as that in the New.
It's symbolic of everything that's in the New Testament. It just symbolizes it, with the exception of the moral law. The moral law just goes on forever, Old and New Testament, but the law of sacrifices is over, the law of circumcision, and many other laws like that, but not the moral law. The moral law is forever. Then what?
There's no difference. The Lord's intentions are revealed in both the Old and New Testaments. Is that Christ? It should be everything to us. Our place where we dwell.
Yeah, if you have Christ, then he's everything to you. If he isn't everything to you, you don't have him. You're not enjoying him. You're not enjoying his life. You're not letting him have his life, his way with you. And therefore, you never bring forth life because God's life is not hasn't quickened you yet to the fullness of the everything Christ. You just maybe know him in part. You know his word, maybe. But so did the Pharisees, Sadducees, and other people that never made it into heaven. Then what?
It should be everything to us. Our place where we dwell, the land.
Yeah, Christ should be the place that we dwell. But this is not the really, this little place that I live in is not the place that I will eternally dwell, because Christ is my dwelling place. He's the actual temple in the kingdom of God on the heavenly land. Amen. In the midst of heaven. And we are the building of God, which is the New Jerusalem, and the Lord is the light, our light. There's no sun or moon there. Then what?
The land, and that he promised a better land that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those of us here on earth that love him and keep his commandments here.
Yeah, and if we love him here, we let him have his way, and then we enjoy his life, not our everyday life, because Christ living in us is not it isn't an ordinary thing. It's a supernatural thing. We have eternal life here with God's life in us and through us. Then what?
The land, Christ. We have the earth.
No, the land, Christ. Always reread the whole sentence, because that doesn't make sense after I make a commentary.
It should be everything to us. Our place
where
we
dwell. Yeah, Christ should be everything to us, is what it should have been. And what?
Our place where we dwell, the land, and that he promised a better land that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those of us here on earth that love him and keep his commandments here, the land, Christ.
Right, so it's not us that's really keeping us, but we are yoked with him, and therefore it's him doing his work in and through us. So we don't get any credit, but one good thing that we do is we get to go to heaven, we get to be with him, we get to enjoy him here and throughout eternity. Then what?
We have the earth to enjoy the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us everything that we have, and everything that we have is Christ. If we receive everything that he is, we have everything that he is. The kingdom of God.
But if you don't receive everything that he is, then you don't have everything that he is. Amen?
Amen.
So who's being deprived, God or you? You. Amen?
Amen.
Not God. God's got everything. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you might say, he doesn't have me. Well, that's no big loss for God. Amen?
Amen.
He's got himself. He's got life. And you have nothing if you don't have him. Then what?
The kingdom of God is transmitted from us to others, and the house of God as well. The church comes out of Christ. So everything is Christ, and the church...
The church, which is Christ's bride, comes out of his Christ. The bride of Adam came out of his Adam. And so now this is the second Adam, the last Adam is Christ, and so this is a new start, and Christ lives forevermore, and his church or his bride comes out of Christ. Okay, it was because of Eve coming out of Adam that she had life, and it's because of us coming out of Christ, the work that he did on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, that we have life eternal. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to come out of Christ in order to be Christ's bride, his church, the New Jerusalem. Then what?
So everything is Christ, and the church is with God's kingdom.
Right. The church, in other words, his bride, is with God's kingdom because God's kingdom is Christ. So we're with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Understand? Capito? Comprende? Capisce? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This is the central theme of God's eternal plan. This is why when we're talking about having God's life living in you and through you, we have to acknowledge that Christ is everything and that Christ is the Sabbath.
Right, unless Christ is my entire living and my life and everything, why should I, read that line again?
This is why when we're talking about having God's life living in and through you, we have to acknowledge that Christ is everything and that Christ is the Sabbath.
Right, or else he won't fill you full of life. That's the deal. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
If Christ is living in us, then he's healing all the withered members in the church. So Christ is always against religion.
Right, so because religion says it's not right to heal on the Sabbath. But the Lord says it is all right. And who are these Pharisees or anybody like that to tell God what to do and when to do it? If he sees somebody that's healed, it doesn't matter what day it is. The Lord is constantly healing. He already healed everybody, and you just have to receive it. Okay? He's constantly giving you breath. He's constantly making everything available for you in the world that is not sin. And sin is, read the Bible, you'll see what that is, fornication, adultery, thieving, stealing, lying. If you want the full, if you want God to contain you, or be for you to contain God, you can't be a liar, because God isn't going to fill himself, fill you up if you're a liar, because there's a demon living in you. Amen.
Amen.
It's a demon spirit, and he's not going to pour his life into you if you're a liar. If you're a thief, if you're an adulterer, if you're a fornicator, if you're a drunkard, if you're a false witness, if you're a liar, and you won't give up because of your pride, you won't give up this, you won't make a confession, you forget about being going to heaven or having the Lord in you. Might as well just forget about it, because upon your confession of your sins, you have to get all those satanic demons out of you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And when you report these demons, in other words, you confess the demons that are in you, then Christ can move in. But as long as you're hiding these demons in you, you're lying, or whatever you're doing, this demon's in you and Christ will not come in, because you're holding on to Satan and rejecting the Lord. You're pushing him away. And so if that doesn't get you, if your pride is so much, pride always goes before a fall. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to vomit up the devil. Amen? Get him out of you so that the Lord can pour his content into you. If you see poison inside of a bottle and you've got a dairy, are you going to pour milk inside that bottle that has poison in it?
No.
And no one can drink it, amen, because you'll die. Well, no one can live with you or have anything to do with you that is Christ if you don't get rid, if you don't confess. Well, my time is up again. That always gets me, because just when I get wound up, you know. But so be sure to tune in on tomorrow for part 24, because it really gets interesting, more interesting as we go along. And this word is going to build up faith in you. And if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to yonder mountain, be removed, and it'll be sent right into the sea, right into the depths of the sea. Amen.
Amen.
So, but, you know, like if you want to have the content of God, which is life living in you, immortal life, then just say this prayer. say it to Him and mean it with all your heart. Father God, I come to You confessing my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that You're the Son of the living God and that You died on the cross and shed Your precious blood for me. Lord God, who is life and life eternal, I ask, Lord, that You save my soul. I open up the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because Your word says so. Your word says that You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank and praise You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Now lift your hands up and for once in your life, raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And don't be ashamed to do it, because if we're ashamed of Him here, He'll be ashamed of us before His Father and the holy angels. So make sure, if you'd like a copy of this tape, to call and ask for program number 126. And here are the four ways that you can order it.
Visit our website at alamoministries.com or write us at Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax at 479-782-7406.
Yeah, call us and let us know if you've accepted the Lord. That encourages us, and it'll encourage the whole body of Christ, amen, all over the world. And send the testimony, your testimony in, and like you hear all these other letters, and, you know, we'll read it over the air, okay? Until tomorrow, for part 25 of How to Have God's Life Living In, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord, amen.